chapter today is called Hoshaw, and it is number 47 in volume 2 of the Shobo Genzo of Dogen. The term Hoshaw is Dharmata in Sanskrit. Dharma, ho, truth, sho, or ta, true nature. The true nature of truth. Which is also the true nature of phenomena. As with all Japanese names and Japanese words, there are double meanings. For example, the name Meidor can mean the hall of the beauty of heaven, or it can mean the underworld. And with the word Dharmata, it can mean the true nature of a person or a sentient being, the Buddha nature, and it can mean seeing the real nature of the phenomenal world and not looking down upon that phenomenal world, but seeing the true nature within it. Dharmata Samadhi is the subject of this chapter. Samadhi is concentrating the true meaning, the dictionary meaning of Samadhi, is concentration upon a particular thing, concentrating and finding its true essence. Therefore, Dharmata Samadhi is the concentration upon the true essence, that is, the real nature of phenomena. And that which is the essence of phenomena is the remembrance of former births, insight into the future destiny of beings, and recognition of the origin of misery and the way to its removal. This, to my knowledge, is the only chapter in which Dogen speaks clearly and loudly of the importance and, in fact, the necessity of having insight into one's past lives, seeing the potential, which is sometimes called formless plain seeing, seeing the potential of future destiny, and recognizing, as a result of this, the origin of our misery and the way to its removal. We are extraordinarily fortunate that now the chapters of the Shobo Genzo that were formerly unobtainable, because they were not translated, are now available to us. For stage 2 of Zen training is now fully open. There have been many writers on Zen, notably in England, who get extraordinarily angry when it is suggested that one needs to study past lives, future potential, and the origin of our miseries, saying instead that one must dash immediately to the truth and bypass all of this. Soto Zen loudly and clearly says that this is not the right way. Dogen himself, in this one chapter, which is more outspoken on the subject than any other, to my knowledge, in all of Buddhist literature, Dogen Zenji makes this very clear And he also takes to task at least one famous British writer, although he probably didn't know him in those days, on one of his own favorite topics. So remember, when you are listening to what Dogen has written, when you hear the term Dharmata, what you are hearing is the remembrance of former births, insight into future destiny, knowing that that insight into future destiny is not a determined destiny. It is a potential destiny. Because if you keep the precepts, the potential gradually changes as a kaleidoscope. And the recognition of the true origin of our misery and the way to its removal. In doing this, we find the real nature of phenomena. We find the Buddha nature of ourselves. We find our own true Buddha nature. So you should remember this term, Dharmata, a very, very important Buddhist term, which is clearly and well defined in Soto Zen as the beginning of stage two of meditation. Up until now, we have only had books that spoke of stage one. Now we are into stage two. When we study, we sometimes follow the teaching of the scriptures, sometimes the teaching of a master. Ultimately, however, it comes down to self-enlightenment without a teacher. Self-enlightenment without a teacher occurs through Dharmata, the remembrance of former births, insight into the future destiny of beings, and recognition of the origin of misery and the way to its removal. That is, understanding the true, real nature of the phenomenal world. Even if we possess such knowledge innately, for indeed we do, it is still necessary for us to visit masters and seek the way, for they can show us how to find the door in. If we think we lack the innate knowledge of finding this Dharmata, we must study and practice harder, for our faith is not yet strong. There is no one who does not possess this innate knowledge of their former births. No one who cannot shape his destiny as a result of keeping the precepts. No one who cannot recognize the origin of his misery and the way to its removal. We must follow the teaching in the scriptures and the teaching of the masters until we achieve Buddhist enlightenment. For these are the road maps of the way. We must know that we enter the world of Hosho Samadhi or Dharmata Samadhi when we look at the scriptures or meet a master. For when we do this, we are inviting the past so that the future may be better for all sentient beings. To enter and obtain Dharmata Samadhi, to concentrate on the object of finding out what has caused our misery and its removal, to concentrate on what former births can teach us and how we can prevent recurrences of the past. This is called innate knowledge. Thus we obtain the knowledge of our previous existences and Samyore, Samuel is a word for the three types of knowledge, which I have just mentioned. The remembrance of former births, insight into our potential future, and recognition of the origin of misery and the way to its removal. Remember the term Samuel. To do this, to find this origin by this method, is to obtain supreme enlightenment. We learn the innate knowledge described above by meeting with that innate knowledge, i.e., by meeting with and feeling, knowing, seeing, hearing, smelling our past lives and knowing what we did. And knowing that they are not part of us, they are but shadows, they are but dreams, and that the true us is not in them. These are but the ghosts of the past, which have controlled us and will control us if we do not find that which got this particular stream going. If we do not find the source of the misery. We correctly transmit wisdom that is not obtained from a teacher and the natural wisdom that is ours by meeting wisdom that is not obtained from a teacher and the natural wisdom that is ours. For what is contained in the past is the storehouse of our wisdom. It is the case histories which show us the pathway. Just as in the discipline of the Sangha, there are no rules, there are only case histories from which we learn. And it was deliberately set up that way to show that in the world we did as the Buddhas and the patriarchs have taught us to do in learning from our past. Just as there are only case histories there, so there are only case histories in our past. And from them we learn. And from them we make our rules of conduct for the future. And in so making our rules of conduct, by not going in the opposite direction of what our past lives teach, by not swinging from side to side, but by finding the middle way between these extremes, and it is the extremes that our past lives show us, by not getting involved in these extremes, by finding the middle way, we find the cause of our misery. And the cause of our misery is always closest to the middle. It is not the extremes, for obvious reasons. That which caused us to leave our original true nature, or to hide our original true nature, for it is not possible to leave it, that which caused us to move from our original true nature, was so tiny in the beginning that it was awfully close to our original true nature. I have sometimes described it as very slightly saddened love. It is so very, very close. Do not think that it is an extreme thing. If it were an extreme, it would be very easy for us to understand what is going on. But we certainly would not be able to control, to be masters of our own destiny. To be masters of our own potential destiny. It would not be possible for us to find our own true nature if it were that easy. If we do not possess this innate knowledge, or do not believe that we possess this innate knowledge, even if we meet masters and study the scriptures, we will not be able to either hear or enlighten our dharmata. We will not be able to redeem our former births by seeing what we have done or what our karmic stream has done, nor will we have insight into our future, our possible futures. And above all, we will not know our true nature. When we drink water, we know if it is hot or cold. There is a famous British writer on Buddhism who loves to make this his favorite theme. Dogen makes it very clear. He says, the principle of the great way is not this. It is not like this at all. This is the opinion of one who does not understand Zen whatsoever. All Buddhas, Mahasattvas, and sentient beings clarify the great way of Dharmata through the power of their innate knowledge and through our power of innate knowledge, as described above. Following the scriptures or masters and clarifying the great way of Dharmata is the illumination of one's own Dharmata. One should know that the writings of the Buddhas and the Mahasattvas on the way in which they have clarified the great way through their own past lives and their insight into their future destinies and their recognition of the origin of misery and the way to its removal. One should know that these things are the roadmaps by which one can learn to illuminate one's own Dharmata. Do not expect yours to be the same. Do not expect them to be totally different. Know that these are the roadmaps. These scriptures are, in fact, Dharmata. They are one's true self, for they show one what one's true self is. Masters are also Dharmata, for they show you one what one's true self is, the self in which we all share. This Dharmata is masters, and Dharmata is our true self. Do not think that you can be separate from your past, but you should know its true nature. It can only condition you if you permit it to do so. One must know one's true nature. Since Dharmata is one's true self, one should know that it is not the self, in quotes, of non-believers or demons. In Dharmata, in this Dharmata of previous births and future possibilities and the removal of misery, there are no non-believers or demons. There is simply that which has to be done, which becomes the past and becomes the future, That is, there is to eat gruel when it is served, and take rice when given, and drink tea when it is offered. And when these things are done, they are past life, and when they are not yet done, they are future life. Do not think that anything whatsoever is outside of Dhammata. And look at all things from this same point of view. There are some who claim to have had 20 or 30 years of study, yet when they are confronted with a discussion of past lives and future possibilities and the removal of misery, they are dumbstruck, and all their efforts immediately become wasted, for they flee from the monasteries. Others who spent years in a monastery and now occupy seats of honor, but are totally confounded by the voice of the cosmic Buddha and by the form, feel, and genuine-seeming existence of past life phenomena and future possibilities and the misery. Their understanding, this is because their understanding is that this type of Dhammata only emerges after the entire universe and the three worlds are destroyed, i.e., no one knows what's going to happen, but all these strange things are going to happen once the world is destroyed. These such things as Dhammata to them are the world of science fiction. They do not recognize that Dhammata is with us at all times, in this present world. It is the lunch we just had and the supper we will have. The principle of Dhammata is not as they understand it at all. It goes completely beyond ideas of difference and identity, separation and unity between this phenomenal world and what happened in the past and what may happen in the future. Since it is not past, present, or future, not temporary nor eternal, not form, perception, mental conception, volition, or consciousness, since it is none of these things, we call it Dhammata. Zen Master Baso Daijaku of Kosei in Koshu said, sentient beings have never left the state of Dhammata Samadhi throughout myriads of kalpas. They are always in a state of Dhammata Samadhi. They are always putting on their clothes, taking off their clothes, eating rice, relieving themselves of rice, greeting their visitors, showing their visitors out, using their six sense organs. All their actions are the function of Dhammata. Why then should one be surprised that what happened before this present existence should appear loud and clear if one is truly in Dhammata Samadhi? It is important that you know the meaning of the name Baso. The term Ba means horse, and So, I have tried valiantly to find the character for this. I believe it to be the character, the first half of Soryo, which is monk or horse monk, but I am not sure of this. At all events, it is important to remember that the first half of his name means horse, for there have been many, I suppose we could call them religious jokes, played on his teaching because of this first half of the name. It is said that to understand Baso is to ride Baso. If you think about the first half of his name as a horse, you can see the connection. Basso's Dharmata is the Dharmata of Dharmata. If we study under Basso, we are studying Dharmata. Basso understands Dharmata and therefore cannot fail to express it. Therefore it is said that Dharmata is riding on Basso. If you hear this term, you should know what is being expressed. Human beings eat rice. Rice at a later date eats human beings. Dharmata emerges as Dharmata. It has never left the state of Dharmata Samadhi. Both before and after its manifestation, Dharmata has never left anything behind. Dharmata and the myriad kalpas are simply Dharmata Samadhi, the deep concentration and study of past, possible future, the finding of the cause of our misery, and in the process of so doing, finding our true nature. Therefore, we should know that Dharmata is in fact the myriad kalpas. For all things are this past and this future. And at all times within this, we are trying to find the cessation of suffering. And when we do, we have found the true meaning of full enlightenment. I tried to express this, the meaning of Dharmata, in one of the last chapters of Lotus Blossom, in which you will see many red threads with many creatures falling and rising and appearing and disappearing, and in the center, that which never moved, that which never changed, the Buddha nature. Therefore, all things in the present are Dharmata. Dharmata is all things in the present. The wearing of clothes and the eating of rice is the wearing and eating of Dharmata Samadhi. It is the actualization of the Dharmata of wearing, eating, clothes, and rice. If we do not wear clothes and eat rice, do not give a greeting, do not use the six sense organs, do nothing, then we do not practice Dharmata Samadhi. And we cannot enter Dharmata. And we will be something that it is impossible to be, truly dead. The present actualization of the way was transmitted by all the Buddhas to Shakyamuni Buddha, and all the patriarchs rightly transmitted it to Basso. Each Buddha and patriarch mutually receives and transmits Dharmata Samadhi. By studying past lives, future possibilities, the causes of misery, and their ultimate removal. Buddhas and patriarchs, by doing this very activity, make the past lives, and future potentials lively and active through their detachment therefrom. And this is very important. There must be detachment from this. If there is excitement, emotion, joy, and attachment to such phenomena, then it cannot become either active, lively, or useful. It is sometimes said that we are not allowed to see any of this or know any of it
until we are sufficiently detached from it. Therefore, if a person is not completely detached therefrom, perhaps what they are doing is not seeing true, seeing into the depths of their own past births and their future potential. Perhaps instead they are indulging in their own histrionics. Therefore, it is very important when past life experience takes place, future potential is shown, it is very important not to be attached thereto, to observe, learn, and walk on by. This is one of the most important lessons that can be learned from this chapter of Hosho. Teachers, quite rightly, are very worried when someone shows a constant interest in this sort of thing. There has to be detachment, or the truth cannot manifest itself, and one cannot find the truth in the midst of what is popularly called the phenomenal world. Teachers of doctrine may talk about this Dharmata, but it is not the Dharmata of Basu's sentient beings, for they have never left Dharmata. Be careful of histrionic Dharmata. However, even if what seems to be happening is doubted to be Dharmata, something can still be gained. For such thinking is just a different form of Dharmata. But it is sometimes extraordinarily difficult to realize and understand this. There are those who think they lack this Dharmata, who have no past life or past births that they can experience. And yet they still greet other people, and they eat and they drink and they put on their clothes and they go to sleep. In other words, they act in exactly the same way as other people. And this must be understood as Dharmata. This itself should give them hope. Unlimited kalpas flow by, and Dharmata passes, and the truth stays still within it. One should understand the present and the future in exactly this way. We may think that the measure of body and mind is limited to what we can weigh, and that it differs from Dharmata. That is, we may be materialistic. But even such ideas as this are still Dharmata. And the converse is also true. Deliberate thought and natural thought together form Dharmata. Ta, or shore, which means nature, we should not take as something permanent, like water that does not flow, or a tree that neither grows nor perishes. For this is the opinion of non-believers. The true nature flows and is described variously as the water of the spirit or the water of the Buddha nature, or the spirit of that which is. But it should be known as something that is not static, that is constantly moving and changing and growing, and expresses itself in the leaves of autumn, and in the leaves of spring, and in the wind, the sun and the moon and the stars, and in the eating of rice and the elimination of rice, in the putting on of clothes and the taking off of clothes. what happened thousands of years ago and what may happen in the future. We can feel it and know it as a man or woman trails their hand in the water, but it cannot be grasped any more than a handful of water can be grasped. It can be known. It can be lived in, but it cannot be possessed. I am not God, and there is nothing in me that is not of God, should be understood in this way. Shakyamuni Buddha said, that which is form. The cosmic Buddha is form. That which is, the cosmic Buddha, is all of nature. Hence, blooming flowers and falling leaves are that which is, the cosmic Buddha, all of nature. Foolish people, however, think that there are no blooming flowers or falling leaves in the world of Dhammata. But they are all the world of Dhammata. Let us stop questioning others for a while and ask ourselves the same questions. Try to pick up others' questions and study them yourself repeatedly. Then you should be able to solve those questions. Your previous ideas were not evil or misintended. They were just inadequate. And even when you clarify the above problems, such inadequate ideas will remain somewhere. They will not affect you unless you allow them to. Blooming flowers and falling leaves are of themselves blooming flowers and falling leaves. Even the thought that there are no blooming flowers and falling leaves is still Dhammata. This place of deliberate thought and natural thought is the place of the dropping off of all doubt, the place of Dhammata as it truly is, the sum total of all our thoughts of Dhammata is our original face, the Buddha nature. For we must see that Buddha nature in every one of those past births, in every piece of the potential of the future, in the misery and in its removal. Nothing whatsoever can be rejected. Take careful note of this. Basaur's Everything is Dhammata is 80 or 90% of the truth, but he still left much unsaid. For example, he did not say, Dhammata does not leave Dhammata. Dhammata is all Dhammata. Sentient beings cannot leave sentient beings. Sentient beings are only a small part of Dhammata. There is much more to it than that. Sentient beings are only a small part of sentient beings. Dhammata is half of sentient beings. Half of sentient beings are half of Dhammata. No sentient beings are Dhammata. Dhammata is not sentient beings. Dhammata leaves Dhammata. Sentient beings leave sentient beings. Arguments are constant. And if you want to get bogged down in questions, it is very simple. Be careful you do not stray from the true roadmaps. Basaur only said that sentient beings do not leave Dhammata Samadhi. He did not say that Dhammata does not leave sentient being Samadhi, nor that Dhammata Samadhi leaves and enters sentient being Samadhi. Furthermore, he did not hear Dhammata becomes Buddha. Sentient beings enlighten Dharmata. Dharmata enlightens Dharmata. Inanimate things do not leave Dharmata. If we ask Basor, what do you call sentient beings? If we call sentient beings Dharmata, where do they come from? If we call sentient beings, it means not even one thing can be explained. Says Dogen, answer me quickly, quickly. And according to my master, he rushed around the Zendo and beat the lot out of them. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.